Chris Gibson, I want to get to a couple of things today. First of all, let's talk about the reauthorization of the Older Americans Act. I have a feeling an awful lot of people don't even know what it is.
Well, thanks, Alan. Look, I certainly regret the name, but it is a reauthorization. I could think of perhaps other ways to phrase it, but the Older Americans Act is really the federal involvement ensuring our senior citizens have access to nutritional support. So the Meals on Wheels and other programs that come into our senior centers come by way of the support of the Older Americans Act. In addition, for some seniors, they want to get back in and maybe do some part-time work. So the Older Americans Act provides funding for some of our centers that help with reemployment of seniors. It's also an important bill as it relates to preventing elder abuse, not just physical elder abuse, but also financial elder abuse in terms of getting taking advantage of somebody in terms of their monies and trying to scam them. So a very important piece of federal legislation that provides funding for all of our departments out there, our county departments of aging. Their funding stream comes from the Older Americans Act. And so, my involvement in this has very much been constituent driven. I met with my directors of the Department of Aging throughout the 11 counties that I represent. They explained to me very clearly how important this bill was. So I was the author on the House side for the reauthorization. And this year I led on a letter, 65 members, bipartisan, on the criticality of getting this reauthorized. And fortunately, we've been able to get that done. I was pretty excited to see that we sent a letter to the leadership of the House, and the next week they took action. So now, you know, we have a reauthorization. So this reauthorization will go through 2019, and we also included some awesome reforms that went with it. One of the things I heard from my Department of Aging was, you know, how important transportation is to our seniors. They want to age in place, but they need to have access to public transportation. So in this Older Americans Act, there is reform that helps to build out in rural areas transportation networks. So, it's not sexy, so you don't hear about it on the 6 p.m. news, but thank you for asking about it, because a lot of listeners out there are going to want to see this support that comes with the Older Americans Act reauthorization.
What do you make of President Obama and his nomination for a Supreme Court seat?
Well, I don't know that I really haven't studied it in great detail, obviously, since I won't vote on it. It's a Senate matter. But it seemed like he tried to pick somebody who had integrity and experience and somebody who could potentially get support in the process. So, you know, my view on this is, like in all things, that we ought to stick close to the Constitution. We should always follow the Constitution. I think too often both political parties, you know, they follow it when it's advantageous to them, and then they deviate when they think that it's not. So, you know, at this moment, I think that when you read the Constitution, it's clear that the president shall nominate and the Senate shall advise and consent. This is the confirmation process. And so, of course, the president had every right, and in fact is called to by the Constitution to nominate. And now the role of the U.S. Senate is to vet that candidate, including meetings and hearings, and to take a vote. Senate's under no obligation whatsoever to confirm, but they ought to go through that process. Now, if you go back a number of years, you'll see that Vice President Biden had some strong views about not following through on the process because he was concerned about a Republican president nominating judges, and then even President Obama himself voted to not proceed with debate on Sam Alito, now on the bench for the Supreme Court. So look, both sides, this happens way too often. And in fact, I call these John Stewart moments because, you know, when he used to have the Daily Show, he used to show representatives on both sides say something and then 5 years later be 180 degrees out from where they were. And so, you know, all these matters, whether it's on court nominations or the Patriot Act or, you know, how to proceed on whether or not to go forward in the solemn decision on the use of force. I have been an advocate. My work in the Congress reflects empowerment of people by following the Constitution. You'll know I have the War Powers Reform Act, a whole series of amendments and bills that I have supported to try to adhere to the Constitution.
Well, Chris Gibson, Representative Chris Gibson, former lecturer at West Point, Chris Gibson, Colonel, having served a number of deployments and leading men abroad. I guess I got to ask you, with a couple of minutes to go, how's the fight, in your view, against ISIS proceeding?
Well, look, I mean, we're still struggling. You have a situation where we're gaining some traction in Iraq, but we seem to be back to the same problem of the efficacy of the Iraqi security forces. They did take a step forward in Ramadi and in parts of Anbar province, but they're struggling now in Mosul. I do think at this point, our approach to the Islamic State, we should follow these principles. The first is we never take off the table. If we gain intelligence that the Islamic State is in the throes of conducting attack against our country, we need to be prepared to move immediately and unilaterally, if necessary, to protect our people.
Give us an example of that.
Well, look, if they're in the process of conducting some kind of 9/11 style attack against us, and you know they're in the final execution, if they're in the throes of that, we've got to stop it. I mean, so we can never take off the table the use of military force because we have to protect our people. But having said that, when we don't have this intelligence that they're in the final throes of that, I think it's in our best interests to work through Muslim peoples and nations to militarily neutralize, to defeat the Islamic State. And here's why. Because, you know, this enemy that we're fighting, this evil, determined enemy, they're frauds. And they claim to be advancing the cause of Muslims. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Islamic State kills more Muslims than any other entity in the world. And so, you know, when we support Muslim peoples and nations, such as Jordan and Iraq, and the peoples, such as the Kurds, you know, we're not only helping defeat them militarily, but we're denying them this false argument. As they go around the world, the biggest threat to us is their ability to recruit other into transform individuals into jihadists, to recruit and to fundraise. So, you know, when the Islamic State going to any place in the world, maybe they're going to Asia or something, and they're going into madrasa and they're saying to the individuals there, what are you doing for the cause? And, you know, I can imagine somebody there is giving a briefing and then, you know, the Islamic State agent takes them up short and says, you're not doing anything. Have you looked on the news today? I mean, we're fighting the great Satan over there. You need to send us fighters and write us a check. That's like, that is the biggest concern when over a billion people in the world adhere to the Muslim faith. It makes no sense for us to make war against one-sixth of the people on the earth. What we need to do is support Muslim peoples and nations who are trying to stand up to this extremism, this Islamic extremism. That's the best way, I think, that we can do this long-term.
Only got a minute. Donald Trump says, keep the Muslims out while this is going on. You say?
Well, that's not constitutional. I mean, look, we were founded on religious liberty and religious freedom. If you go back to the very beginning in Plymouth Rock, and then you look at our earliest documents, we believe that people who adhere to our principles, if you believe in this country, if you believe in the Declaration of Independence, if you adhere to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and our U.S. laws, well, you're an American. So, you know, you really don't want to, in my view, you don't want to move down that road because who's safe then? You know, that's, again, we just moments ago talked about adherence to the Constitution. So, no, we clearly need to protect ourselves. There's no question on that. But you don't want to give up the things that you're fighting for, because at the end, who are you?
My friend Chris Gibson, thank you for continuing to come and see us and to talk to people. Very much appreciate all your efforts, and good luck on everything you're doing.
Thank you, Alan. Best wishes to everyone out there.